All right. Good stuff, huh? Come on, let's give it up for the worship team that we had. It is good to be here. I like to eat, therefore I run. Anybody else in the room like that? I run because I eat. There's nothing else. So if I'm going to have breakfast, I'm just telling you right now, I don't care what kind of eggs you serve me. I don't care if they're scrambled. I don't care if they're sunny side up. I don't care whatever it is, but you got to have some bacon with it. Is anybody in the house dyking that? And I'm talking this Canadian bacon. I don't really want to talk about the Canadians, but they're doing that right. And if it comes to lunch, do not even think about giving me an impossible burger. It is not impossible. I want to have meat. I want to have USDA. I want to have a burger. And if I'm going to have a burger, you better believe there's going to be fries. And if my daughter, I got three girls, and they get their hands in that basket, in that bag when I'm driving and get my fries, you better watch out. Greasier the better. I missed dinner, so that's why I'm going off on this. But if I was going to have dinner, and my last name ends in a vowel, so if you serve spaghetti, you better believe I want meatballs. And I want lots of meatballs. Anybody name in the house that ends with a vowel, come on, give me a hand raise. I want to identify all the people that are either yelling, screaming, or crying, because that's all the Italians are.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. And I don't know, if I was going to have a midnight snack or maybe 10 o'clock, I don't know. I've heard this to be true. But let's just say somebody had a little wine. They like cheese to go with it. Now, I don't know, because I'm here in Send Network, I don't know if those two things go together. My wife tells me they do. And by look at some of your faces, I think you know more than I do on this topic. Why is it? Let me say it like this. Slow down. So grateful to be here. The power's in the combination. Do you hear what I'm saying? The power is in the combination. And I'm not talking about a hamburger and fries. I'm not talking about eggs and bacon. I'm not talking about, no, spaghetti and meatballs. Even though there's power in those combinations, I want to talk to you about the power in the combination. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. You've been here before, I guarantee it. It's a humbling experience to be up here and speak to all of you. You've preached this passage, I bet. You've studied it. You know more than me. But I just want to do this. I want to point out that this passage gives us the combination. And the combination in Acts chapter 6:4 is prayer and the ministry of the word. And that's why all of us are in this room. And I believe prayer and the ministry of the word, this is what we're calling deep devotion. And so what I want to simply do with the time that I have tonight is I want to give you 5 reasons why I believe deep devotion is everything. Why I believe that it's a game changer. Why I believe that it's essential. Why I believe that there's a lot of things that you can afford not to do or you can get wrong. For instance, you can mispronounce a name at a wedding. Anybody want to be honest in this section and say they've done it? Thank you, sir, for your honesty. You can even drop the communion cups. I ain't gonna ask if anybody did that, but that can happen. You could even do this. You could even use your kid in an illustration without their permission. Oh boy. But you can't get this wrong. You can't get this wrong, because it's not only about you and your church, it's about you and your family, it's about you and your ministry. The power is in the combination, and it is a game changer. And so I just want to kind of stoke the flame of the fire that may be kind of burning a little light, and I want to tell you that we're in it together. I remember being just right in the same place you are, some planting a church and wondering if anybody's going to show up. making sure the kids and the wife are in the front row. But this is the power. And we got to marshal it. We've got nothing without this. And so I'm thankful for Vance Pittman, so grateful to him. We've been friends now for too long that I can tell. We were in a next generation leadership group a long time ago. That's when Vance had hair. And I don't know, I was under 250 at that time. And I was actually a little taller. I don't know what it is. Any old people in the room, do you get shorter? Is that what's happening to me? I mean, I don't know. They cut an inch and a half off my leg when I wound up getting a little surgery here with a replacement hip. But we look different. But we aren't different. We have this conviction. I'm so thankful for his leadership. Can we praise God for that? I'm so thankful for his commitment to this topic. And I get the privilege of serving on a lead team of pastors for Send Network, and I'm thrilled about it. And to be able to present this topic, it's just an awesome thing for me. So let's do this. Let's open up our Bibles. I'm going to read Acts chapter 6. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1. It says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples, and they said, 'It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, and we will appoint to this duty.'" And here it is. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." There it is. Underline that sentence if it's not already. "And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip." And then a few guys, I don't want to know how to pronounce their names. That was a joke. No one laughed. They're like, "You don't know that?" Verse 6. "These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them." And then look at verse 7. "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Father, I thank you for your word. Without it, I don't know where I would be. Without it, I would have an inaccurate view, an inaccurate picture of who you are. Your word reveals to me who you are, the loving nature that you have, the God of holiness, the God of forgiveness. And so, Father, I'm asking for faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing preaching of the word. And I pray that you would use our time, not only in this session, but our time together, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would move us. That as we band together in this tribe, that we have a conviction about a deep devotion that involves your word and prayer. If you agree with that prayer, simply say amen. All right, so first thing is this. If you're a note taker, you can write down the first reason why deep devotion is a game changer, why it's so essential for us and for the church is simply this. It solves problems. And so it solves problems. What was the problem that it solved in the text? Again, I know you've been here, but look at verse 6. There was a complaint, and it came by the Karenists. Oops, no, Hellenists. I hope nobody's name is Karen, sorry. My mom's name is Helen. And I'm telling you, my mom's the kind of woman that I'm just telling you, she was kind of like a Karen, if you know what I mean. And so she would go after you for anything, but there was a complaint, and don't be fooled. We're joking around a little bit, but the truth is this. Don't be fooled by it was just about the food. Anytime you get a complaint in church, isn't it true that on the surface, there's something much deeper? And so you got to dig down a little bit. What is the deeper truth? Well, the Hellenists, and you know this, again, it's like they were the half-breeds. They were the ones, they were the second-class citizens. And they were getting forgotten. So the problem wasn't that they just weren't being served. The problem is that we're being marginalized because of their ethnicity. And the problem was that they were being treated unfairly, mistreated because of their race. And so I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus changes everything. Do you believe me? He changes every single thing. I love what John Perkins says. And John Perkins, what's interesting about him is a phenomenal guy. I mean, talk about a leader, 93 years old. He's been sanctioned by 3 presidents. He's been served in so many ways as a reconciler. And he said the problem with the church is that we preach that we can be reconciled to God, and we think we don't have to be reconciled to each other. Houston, we have a problem. That we need to be reconciled to each other. That's the picture and the beauty of the bride of Christ. And so I believe Jesus can solve any problem, that one too. And that's why we're united together. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like this. I feel like as a pastor, I feel like a doctor, and I feel like I just write one prescription. So if somebody comes to me and say, I'm having trouble in my marriage, I write the prescription, you need Jesus. And then somebody comes and they say, well, we're having a little trouble at work. I got a little problem with the person. You need Jesus. Hey, you know what? I'm having a problem with my teenager. They need Jesus. They really do. Jesus solves all the problems. He is the answer to every problem. He solves every solution. Deep devotion for us, it solves the problems that we face. We can't do it. We're trying hard. We're working hard. We need to get the word out for the Spirit to interact so God can change the heart. And so you have a tremendous responsibility each week. And each Sunday, they come like waves on the seashore. Doesn't it feel like that? And they just keep coming and coming and coming. And you preach the word with faithfulness. I remember when Jesus solved my biggest problem. And I was 27 years old, and my wife Jody was about to divorce me. And so we didn't even make it a year. We had just moved to Chicago, and we were both jobs. Her job was taken off. Mine wasn't. We weren't from Christians' homes. I was a non-Christian. We weren't going to church. And so I wound up doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing. If she was up here, she would say she didn't do some things she could have been doing. But I was the one that made a huge mistake, and I sinned in a really terrible way. And so the worst night of our lives, when she discovered it, she came home from a business trip, and she came home early. And I mean, I'm telling you, it wasn't good. And so I slept on the floor, and the next morning she got up and she put a dress on. I said, what are you doing? I said, Jody, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to church. And she walked across the street to a church that was right across from the apartments where we used to live. And she ran into a woman, and it was an Asian woman there, and she was kind of setting up for church. And isn't it true you don't know what people are going to walk in on a Sunday with? And this woman, she identified with her. She had empathy for her. She cried with her. And then Jody said, she goes, well, my husband, this is what happened. And she said, well, all men are failures. And then she said this. She goes, you need to go to Widow Creek. And she had this thick, heavy accent. You need to go to Widow Creek. And she meant Willow Creek. My wife thought to herself, I thought about killing him last night, but I didn't think that was a good idea. We went to that church, and she allowed me to come. And we walked into a pastor's office. And the pastor, I'll never forget this. This is a good thing. Remember this one. He said, I got 45 minutes for you. That's a really good line. And then he told us, we can either talk about the mess that you're in with your marriage, or we can talk about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that's available to you. And we just said, give us the Jesus thing. And he led us in a prayer, same time, same place, October 31st, some good things do happen on Halloween. And it changed the trajectory of our lives. And God gave me a hunger for his word that I can't explain. And in those early days, and I wish I've always had that same, but there was a trajectory that was moving. Quit my job, went to seminary, started a church. What is it? What's the problem that Jesus needs to solve for you? Because I believe he solves every problem. Do you agree with me? Second, what we're calling non-negotiable. I mean, this is an essential. Well, deep devotion, it not only solves problems, but what it does is it matures followers. And so now we're going to dig into the meat of this passage. And it does what? It It has the ability to grow us and mature us. It not only saves us, but it sanctifies. And so our responsibility is to be faithful to the word and prayer, and God will do something with it. Look with me at what it says in verse 2. The 12 summoned the full number of the apostles, and they said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, they're not saying that because they thought that was beneath them. They're not saying that because they thought that was below them. I've always believed in this little leadership principle and taught it all the time. I'm never going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. Amen? But you're planting a church. You're getting things started. You're going things. Yes, sometimes you need to always have a willingness to do anything, but you can't do everything. You just can't do it. And so they wanted to be faithful to the true calling that they had. And so what did they talk about? They talk about the prayer and the ministry of the word. And so in the original language, this is where our English text fails us a bit. What in the original language, the definite article, it's not only before the ministry of the word, but it's also the prayer. And so what that means is that means that they're equal to one another, that one isn't greater than the other, that the power is in the combination of the prayer and the word. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me show you in the original language. Look here. And so you can see the Greek text pop up, and you can see in yellow, there it is, the prayer. There it is, the ministry of the word. In the original language, it says devoted at the end to provide the emphasis. Some of you are looking at the screen and you're not as impressed as I thought you should be. I paid $50,000 to get through seminary to learn this, and I just gave it to you for free. Let's have a little greater appreciation, but in all, thank you very much. But in all seriousness, and I'm no scholar, and maybe you are, but this is a big deal, because what it's saying is that they're equal, and the prayer, the ministry of the word, that those things go together. And so that's the deep devotion, but it's not just talking about individual prayer. It's talking about us corporately. And that's what this session is all about. And so let's put a definition for deep devotion on the board so that you can see it. And this is how we would define deep devotion. It's a total reliance and dependence on God through personal and corporate prayer, and a total surrender and submission to God's word as we practice what we preach and we preach what we practice. That's deep devotion. That's what we're going for. And I would suggest to you as you walked in today that we know that it does this. It helps us as individuals. It helps us if you're here with your wife as a couple, with your spouse. It helps us in the church. It helps us in all these areas. And so we got to be faithful to present the complete picture of who God is and his word and prayer. Just got done with a series at our church. And so oftentimes what I'll do in August, and, you know, people are kind of getting back to school and all that stuff kind of starts at the end of August, early September. We're in full swing now. As you know, ministry calendars are often like the school calendars. And many times in August, we'll do like a vision series or a mission series, just to kind of get everybody focused on what we need to do. This year, we chose to do a prayer series. And so we called it Dear Lord. And what we did was, is we looked at specific prayers in the Old Testament and then the New Testament. And so we looked at the prayer of Jonah, a prayer of repentance. I mean, we looked at all these prayers. We looked at prayer of Jesus, the priestly prayer, and a prayer for unity. We looked at the disciples and Acts chapter 4, a prayer of boldness. And we looked at all these prayers and we did different things. We called people up front to pray in the services. We had people pray in groups. We had people call out to pray like we'll do tonight. Like all this in our services because people want to pray and we need to lead them in prayer. And so it's not just the preaching of the word. It's the word, the ministry of the word, and the prayer. Kind of like the Ohio State University, if you know what I'm saying. It's equal. And we need to be committed to all. We need to be committed to both. Remember when Jody and I I finished seminary, and I didn't feel like I was 30. I was in my 30s. I'm like, all honesty, it took me 5 years to graduate in undergrad. It took me 5 years to finish seminary. Hope you don't think less of me now. But it took me a long time to get through, and going back to school was hard. And I thought to myself, can we do this? Like, we wanted to plant a church, and we felt like God was putting it on our heart, but we thought to ourselves, and maybe you've been in this place, I don't know if we can. And so we were actually taking a trip to Haiti for a missions trip. And so my wife and I, we both decided we're going to read through the calling passages in Scripture. And so we read about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. We read about Jeremiah. We read about Ezekiel. We took a look and tore back the cover to all the calling passages and asked ourselves, Lord, is this what you want us to do? And I'm telling you, God spoke in a powerful way that I'll never forget. And I'm sure you've had an experience like this, but I went to a service in Haiti, and we got there, and they didn't have a building. They didn't have any instruments. I mean, it's kind of weird. We're like, okay, we just saw. We spent 3 days with these people. Now, everybody had their white shirts on, and it was all pressed. There's no instruments. There was no sound system. There's no chairs. They had nothing. But they worshiped. They had God's Spirit. They had God's people. And they had God's word. And it was all bathed in prayer. You see where I'm going? And that's all they needed. And I took my wife's hand after that and thinking of what church is today, what it could be, what we had been involved in, said, you know what? I can't do this, but God can. Have you had that moment? Because that's the moment that pulls you through. And we're just thinking, you know what? God's going to do this. Because the scripture says, I will build my church. That's what Jesus says. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he talks about giving us the keys, which is a picture of responsibility and authority to bind and to loose. And can I just tell you, you've stepped into the greatest and most challenging place, church planting. But God does it. And he changes and he grows people one life at a time. And I couldn't imagine the picture now as I look across what God has done over the last 23 years since we planted the church. And God is faithful. Can I get an amen? Amen. He is faithful. I'm a little concerned about this section right now. And part of it is because I know one of the guys over there. But in all seriousness, let's get to the third thing is this, what the non-negotiable that we're talking about. Is the third one, let's put it up on the screen, that deep devotion builds unity. And so it unites people. And I love this in the text. Look with me because you see it. There's this word, and if you double click on it, I want to tell you what it means. It goes on to say, after they talk about, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men. And then it says after that in verse 5, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. It pleased him. If you double click on that word, pleased, it simply means pleased. Well pleased. They were united, man. They were, as it says in Acts and other places, of one accord. And so there was something about that, what the deep devotion, it builds unity with us. It builds unity with one another. And so unity is something we're all going for. I've paid some stupid tax, so let me help you today. Over the last 23 years, here's some things that sacrifice unity. Here's some things that can, really what they can do. Here's a list on the screen. We'll put it up. These are things that growing church faces that threaten unity. And so I wonder if these are true and if you've experienced these over the years. The first thing is this, is theological or doctrinal issues. Was that going on in Acts? Acts chapter 6, not in this passage. I mean, the ladies weren't getting around and they weren't saying, hey, you know, in their small group teaching a bunch of false doctrine. They weren't doing that. They were just like, hey, man, like we're not getting any food. Personal preference issues. Can you see how personal preference can divide the church? Anybody in there, been there? Give me a hand raise. It's like it can just divide. And so personal preference, was that the issue here? I don't think so. I mean, the ladies didn't get together and they weren't complaining about what the centerpiece was or what they served that day. They were complaining that, hey, man, we didn't get any food, and we're wondering why. And And the next thing is philosophical or methodological, very good. Those are issues that methods and philosophy and in the church, the truth is this, those things are gonna change, but our doctrine doesn't change. That's what drives it. And so was that their problem? I don't think so. And next is systems and scalability, and maybe that was. I mean, can you imagine feeding that many people and what that looks like? And a lot of times people misunderstand the difference between growth and scale. Growth is I add another small group. Growth is I see another person come to Christ and we do another baptism. Scale is when you do it in another location or you plant another church. And was it the last one? People issues. Probably. And I threw in prejudices. Yeah, probably. And that's probably why in the text, when you see the names that were chosen, they're Greek names. Because yes, they made the decision, let's get some people who can identify with these women and who know them and can speak to them and we can work this out and we can solve it. These are issues that churches face that threaten the unity of the body of Christ. I remember when we were in a high school and I don't know, we were 5 or 6 years in and we're just, you know, you're like, man, if we could get a building, this would be awesome. And sometimes, you know, you're putting your hope in this, and next thing you know, there was a church that wanted to merge with us, and they had a building. And isn't it true that I've learned now, I didn't know it back then, but I've learned that just because God opens a door doesn't mean you're going to be the person or should be the person to walk through it. But I'm telling you, I didn't know that there, and I didn't know that then. And I was in the mode of pushing and pushing doors open that probably were closed. But we merged with this church. And I'll never forget, we sat down with the leaders and they said, and the church had tubed and they had a nice facility. And they said, well, you know what? I mean, we want what you have. We want to see the same change in what you're doing there over here. How many people know and smart enough to know they really didn't want that? They wanted the same flame. No, they didn't. And so there was 6 people. And next thing you know, I won't go through all the details, and we got written up the papers. I got written up that we stole their building and that we did this and that we violated the contract and we did everything. And I'll never forget this Sunday that I just, like, I couldn't believe it. And so I'm like, we're going to go downtown. I take the 3 girls. I take my wife, Jody. Let's just get out of this area for a bit. We'll travel 25 miles away. Now, who would think that in a city of 3 million people, that's Chicago, and 10 million people in the suburbs. What are the chances that I would go to a restaurant in the city of Chicago where those 6 people were? What are the chances? I mean, well, they were there. And it was the brand new McDonald's right there on Ontario. And they redo it every 5 or 6 years. And my little girls, they wanted to go there. And we walked in. And these people are there. And I put my head down and my wife, Jody, just, you know, the two girls, they're really young. They're like, what's wrong with Dad? And my wife kind of, you know, sensitively, well, those are the people that kind of, they're not really, they kind of have an issue with their dad. And the next thing you know, I'll never forget it. They said, what should we do? And my 2 oldest girls, they just looked at us and, you know, they're like 8 and 10 years old. And they're going, we're not eating here. We don't like this place. We're getting out of this place. And then the little one, you know, the littlest one, she goes, I want a Happy Meal, I don't want to leave. But your family, man, they're with you. And we left that place. Disunity can threaten things. And all these things can threaten the growth of the church. But deep devotion, I do believe that it will solve problems. And it not only does this, it not only solves problems, it matures followers, it builds unity. 2 more things. The 4th one is this, that it breeds multiplication. That's what deep devotion does. And here again, we see it in the text. Look with me at verse 6. It says, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. Don't you love that picture? I mean, sometimes it's just good to reflect upon when that happened to you, that there's some people that laid hands on you and commissioned you out. And maybe you've had the privilege recently of doing the same thing. We just did it at an elder meeting this past Tuesday. And so there's a pastor from a Korean church. His name is Kwan. And he's literally right down the road from us. He's got a building, and I didn't even know that. I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even know the church existed. And he came to us over the last 3 or 4 months, and his denomination, he's part of a denomination, and what they're doing is they're ordaining gay and lesbians to become pastors. And so what he did was, is he said, you know, our church, we're not for this. And so he made the choice, the difficult choice of standing up for doctrine and theologically speaking. And guess what happened? He lost his church. He lost his job. He lost his house because he was living in a parsonage. I mean, he lost everything. And so we came alongside of him. And now we're going to have what we call High Point Korean. And that's going to start. They're starting this week. They're going to build for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And here's a guy that, what did he do? He stepped up and he was faithful to God's word and the teaching of God's word, and God blessed him. He will bless him. We started a church. We did the same thing. We laid hands on a group of guys, and one of them is a guy who was in solitary confinement for 25 years. And so he was in a prison. It's Stateville Prison. It's by one of our locations near Joliet. And so he wanted to go back into the prison. And he wanted to start a church in a prison. I'm not talking about a ministry in a prison. I'm talking about a church. And so nobody's done that in the state of Illinois before. And so I know they've done that in other places like Texas and Florida, but not in Illinois. So we're the first ones that are planting a church in medium and maximum security facility, Stateville. Isn't God awesome? And we laid hands on him. Yeah, let's praise the Lord. Hold on. One thing about me. If no golf clapping this weekend, okay? No golf claps. It's either we're going all out or we're going to clap or we're not, okay? So let's make a choice. Are we going to clap or are we not going to clap? Yeah. All right, praise the Lord. So this guy, his name is Rodney, and I'll never forget when he interviewed with us. And again, he had been in prison, and he got out, and he wants to go back. That's such an uncommon thing. And I'm telling you, he's theologically more wise than many, but that all the studying that he's done. And he said to us, he wound up saying, he said, you know, this is the first time where, like when I gave you my resume, and it said that I committed a felony, this is the first time I actually, that got me the job. Deep devotion breeds multiplication, and multiplication comes in a lot of different sizes. And we have the privilege in Send Network with the vision that was laid out today that we want to see God do all kinds of works, advancing the kingdom. And so I believe if we're faithful to the calling of prayer and his word, that God will do some other amazing things that we cannot explain. Last thing is this. We're talking about deep devotion. And what deep devotion does is it grows the kingdom. And I love this picture here because it says in verse 7, the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests, yep, you saw that. It's like even the religious establishment, what? They became obedient to the faith. I love that picture. And 11 times throughout the book of Acts, what you'll see is when the number of disciples multiplied, that phrase or a way, a term, that way, it's used multiple times throughout the book of Acts. And so what it's saying is this, is that when we're faithful to this, God will ignite. And deep devotion, it grows the kingdom. I mean, you've already heard Vance's passion today. And so what? The church is just the vehicle. The church is not the end game, right? We learned that together, didn't we? That it's not the end game. The church isn't the end game. It's the kingdom of God is the end game. So what are we about here in Send Network? We're about the great commandment, and we're about the great commission, and we're about the great cooperation, collaboration, that we would work together to see God build his kingdom. That's what we want to see. And I believe if we unite together with these values, with this leadership, that I'm telling you, man, I'm on board. Anybody with me? Let's see what God will accomplish through his word and his faithfulness as we lift the sails and God's spirit moves. And he takes us to new places. So the kingdom of God is the end game. The church isn't. We've learned that. I've been teaching that to our church. That what does it look like? Well, man, the church that you plant, it's about the kingdom and the collaboration and those that are around us. And praise God for his faithfulness and his goodness. So take a look at these game changers, these reasons. And so I would just ask you, as we have a moment and we're going to move into a time where we can worship and pray, like, what is it exactly? How's the Lord speaking to you and your heart? And what's the one essential? What's the thing that you need to focus on in this season, in this time? Because God wants to move. And God wants to do some things through us and in us that we could not do ourselves. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that it contains. And Lord, I thank you for each and every person in this room. I thank you for the spouses and the couples that are together, and our heart's desire is to build something together. And Father, we recognize and we acknowledge John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, he says that apart from me, you can do nothing. And Lord, that's nothing with eternal significance, nothing with eternal value, nothing that will last forever. And so God, we look to you now and we confess together as a movement and as a network that deep devotion solves problems. And so I pray specifically, even for the couple that is grasping hands and their hearts are burdened, and there's a burden in their home with their kids or with their family, that Lord, you would, by your spirit, give them confidence and strength, because we believe that your word and your spirit and prayer, it will solve problems. It will mature followers. Father, I pray for each and every person here in the churches that are represented, that as we speak your truth, that you would mature followers of Christ, and that we would build unity together, and that unity would breed multiplication, not for us, not for our will, not for our desires, but to expand your kingdom, to grow your church. If you agree with that prayer, simply say amen. Let's praise the Lord together.